Yes, indeed. That's entertainment. And that's a technically challenging That's Entertainment at 3 minutes past 11, because in studio I have the man, the myth, that is Michael Levy. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Greg Hughes.
Good to have you on board. What's the crack?
It's great to be here. Before we say anything about TV, a really heartfelt congratulations to yourself, to Caroline, to the team. Very,
what for?
Very well deserved on your big win. I was looking at the award strategically placed out front that I would see it the minute I walked in.
I didn't
in.
Put it there.
You're like, is Michael Levy has to see this, and it's beautiful. Yeah. But I'm delighted for you.
Well, Caroline's off today. Apparently, yes. She's learning to ice skate. So I thought she had
I have no questions,
yeah,
that's fine.
That's it. So that's it. Yep. Just something she wanted to
absolutely.
Do before Halloween, she said. So she took 2 days off and she's learning to ice skate, which I think is lovely. But she positioned it there, I'm sure, because I didn't. Maria Rush, owner of Rush Fitness, is with us remotely as well. Hi, Maria. How are you getting on?
Hi, Greg. How are you doing?
Good to have you with us. She's broadcasting today from sunny Tenerife. What's the weather like over there?
We're down in Lisnanan here. It is lovely and sunny though today, in
close
fairness.
Okay, right. Okay, Michael, I have watched the entirety of it. I'm not sure it's on your list of, because we've talked about it in the past, Justified. It's gone. Finished. Done.
Oh, the new series. Yeah. Yes, the new series.
So, done.
Yeah, it's not on my list yet. What's your verdict on
great.
The
it's good.
New series?
Yeah.
You loved it, yeah?
Yeah.
Does it capture the flavour of the original, which in our opinion is one of the best shows?
Well, I mean,
the last.
It's based in an urban environment, city slicker, you know, he's walking around in a Stetson with his yeah. two thumbs in his, you know, small pockets, and, you know, looking everyone sideways. But hey, it is good. And then towards, well, I can't really say that.
No, yeah.
Kind of, I mean, obviously it's going to continue and it seems it might get a little bit more familiar.
Good.
I enjoyed it.
Good. Timothy Oliphant is back. A friend of mine who has seen it said his only question mark concerned Timothy's real life daughter, who is in the show as
oh,
the
right.
character.
She's not a fantastic actress.
That's what I'm told.
Which sounds horrible to say.
Does that ruin your...
No, not at all. Because that was my initial thought. But I want to clarify it. But then... as it progresses, she's got a little quirkiness to her.
Okay.
Which is, which she grows on you. Does that make sense? Now, she's
yes.
not in all of it.
Yes, that's what Dahi who's been Dahi said it. She's,
initially,
yeah.
I thought, but no, she grows on you then.
I also can tell you, if you may or may not be aware, that our seeds have grown, Greg, and Fionnuala.
I know, I've got 3 children.
Well, that too. Fionnuala has been telling me that she is obsessed with Justified, and I don't know how far into it, but she's apparently watching nothing else but Justified, yeah. and she's discovered that Boyd is the man of her dreams.
Boyd,
I know.
Boyd.
I know, we had yeah. a discussion about this.
But you know what? You need a good baddie, right?
Yeah.
And the baddie in the new Justified's brilliant. He's fantastic. He really is. He's, you know, that kind of combination of terrible and cool at the same time.
Yes.
So he's a really
the
good
The show
baddie.
Originally had some great baddies. Like it did. Like Neil McDonough came in for a season. Madge, what's her name? They always had a good baddie every season, if you remember. And there was somebody you enjoyed, but you wanted to see them taken down at the same time. You know, you wanted to see Raylan do his thing, which involved killing them usually.
Yeah. All right. Now it's interesting. Have you ever watched Justified, Maria?
I haven't, I'm afraid, but it sounds intriguing. I do love a good baddie.
Yeah, he is a good baddie, and he spends a lot of his time walking around in a pair of perfectly clean, I should point out, white underpants, which seems to be a thing.
That's
sold. I didn't put it like, it was just like, it's a bit of a quirk of his character, that's all. But they're always, tighty whities are always perfectly clean. Now, you are amongst many, many people are watching Beckham on Netflix. And I think people who like the Beckhams are enjoying it, and then people who were maybe had a media impression of them are sort of going, you know, David's a lovely guy, or their relationship is lovely, yeah. or whatever it might be. What, as I say, lots and lots of people are watching it, Maria. What's your take on it?
I really enjoyed it. I have to say, I'm not a football fan, but there's a huge nostalgia to this show. I don't watch soccer, I don't follow the Premier League or any of those things, but as a child and as a young teenager, I would have watched the Man United games with my brother when we were kids. So a lot of the moments in the early, especially the first episode, I found myself remembering, even though I didn't think I would. Hugely interesting. I mean, I'd be a big fan of hers. I have to say, I've always been a huge fan of Victoria Beckham's. But to see the two of them together in such a candid way is very, very interesting. Now, I'm very aware that as a docuseries, it is aimed to make them look good. Of course it is. But I found the combination of, you know, their own footage from their own lives over the last 30, 40 years and then all the different media footage, I found that combination really, really interesting to watch. It's beautifully made. I mean, it's directed by and produced by Academy Award winners. Our own Letterkenny's own Michael Hart is the editor on it and does a phenomenal job. To watch it, it's a beautiful watch. I know that sounds strange to say about a docuseries, but there's lovely clips in it where they're showing Beckham and different footballers footage of matches from 20, 30 years ago. And the screen merges from the actual footage where you can still hear it, but you're watching their reaction really closely. And I just found little things like that were really beautiful to watch. It's interesting. It's got everything you want in a docuseries. You know, you've got these people who will never, we can only aspire to live with the wealth that they have and the lifestyle that they have. And I think the main point that I took away from it was that you wouldn't want it. I found myself in the second and third series, especially, I was really angry watching how they were treated by the media, especially after the 1998 Argentina game. You know, I know we're very aware of how the media attack people now and the whole idea of what people, how people are online. But the Beckhams are dealing with this long before the internet was a thing. And the abuse that he got and what he put up with, he's a stronger man than we give him credit for, I think, you know, based on what he put up with. So, yeah, I really enjoyed it. I loved the nostalgia of it. I loved the comedy in it. The two of them together are very funny. There's some great scenes. There's one that has gone viral, obviously, where he's winding her up about, she says that she's working class and he calls her out on that. But they are quite self-deprecating anyway. I think they're quite good at taking a hand at themselves and they came across incredibly humble and incredibly well.
How do they
well
deal with allegations of any extramarital activity?
Yeah, that really was interesting because at no point, it doesn't get an awful lot of attention, and I suppose rightly so. There's no denying, there's no accepting, there's no mention of the person's name, but they do very honestly deal with how it destroyed them for a time and how they made a decision to carry on as a couple. And I think anybody who can't respect that from the outside really has, you know, it's no one's business, is it? Mm-hmm. So, and I know that since that person has come forward now and jumped back into the limelight again, that's fine as well. But yeah, I was interested to see how they would deal with that because it was such a massive moment. But I suppose when you consider that they're together, what, 20, 30 years, and they've, let's be honest, they're a brand. They have made a massive, massive business for themselves.
Can I say something to you, Maria, about the public scrutiny of it? Because there's two sides to it, right? The way they were treated and ridiculed and what have you probably wouldn't happen now. But I suspect, I think it's less likely, but I also don't think they would have been as successful as they are without that media attention at the same time, if that makes sense. Now, I'm not saying it's a fair payoff or it's justified or what have you, but I don't think he would be the icon he was. Like, is there another footballing icon like that in Britain at the moment? No.
Well, you're asking the wrong person.
But in terms of a celebrity icon like she was, is there? No, really, I don't think
so.
No,
they were very clever. And I think, you know, you can probably use the terms the original influencers, because David Beckham was doing deals with brands long before influencing was a thing. He was, you know, living that lifestyle. He wasn't doing anything different to what the celebrities have done for 50, 60, 70 years. But at the same time, I think that the marriage, the literal marriage as well, of himself and the brand that was Posh Spice was always going to be successful. I do think as a couple, they've worked very, very hard through both personal and public to continue. And I wish them every happiness. You know, I think there's a real sadness as well, though, when anybody watching it will probably agree with me. The man has incredible habits that he deals with every day. He's not okay. You know, there's a lot going on there with
him.
And
what is he?
There's a lot. I mean, I'm not going to use terms that I can't diagnose, but there seems to be like a level of OCD.
Obsession. Understood.
Obsessive behaviours. And he hasn't come through this okay. And he says himself towards the end that, I think, and she admits this too, that they seem there seems to be a bit of therapy that mm-hmm. has come from this. I think it's a perfect example of how looking at celebrities, we think they have it all, but I really wouldn't swap my very simple life in Letterkenny for what they
yeah,
have.
Yeah, no, I know exactly what you're saying. And also, I think your commentary there about whose business is it as it relates to how they dealt with their extramarital affairs is quite an interesting one. But a lot of people would have been tuning in to find that out. So, you know, we talk about the press, but what drives the press? It's us. It's our interest in the salacious and what have you. Right. Have you been watching Beckham on Netflix? 086 60 25. Sorry, I'm making you watch Michael all the time. I will put Maria. I will put the camera back on me soon, but it just looks better on.
This is better than Beckham.
It just looks better. It just looks better on the stream. Michael.
Yes.
What say you
about Beckham?
Anything?
I haven't seen Beckham. It's not on my mythical list. It's not on my mythical list.
What about that radar of yours?
It's not on my radar either.
I know it's out there, but there
are two people that I wouldn't. I mean, I completely agree with what Maria is saying in a very serious way. Yeah. I mean, people in that sort of limelight, it's not easy. And when you think, oh, all these rich people, they have no problems. But of course, that is not true at all, particularly somebody like that who is at the center of some, you know, pretty vile coverage in the media and has been for decades. So, I mean, yeah. You'd be thinking hard and long before you'd spot places.
I really am, and I think maybe I'm kind of normal or typical. I don't know. Not many anyone that knows me wouldn't agree with that assessment. But anyway, they're not here. that sort of striving is what is good for me. You know what
yes.
I mean?
Like yes.
Striving to try and acquire something or yes. to progress. That's what works for me. It's the targets. Mm. It's the trying to get there.
Of course,
there.
Yeah. I think a lot of people would connect with that.
If
yeah.
that was absent, like even a week off, as happy as everything as I am, I do sort of then start getting a little bit edgy.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? And I just wonder if I were very wealthy, or at all wealthy for that matter, how that might have an impact on me. So, I feel like I can kind of put myself in that space.
Yeah, of course. But I would imagine...
I'm not saying I wouldn't like to have...
I would like to
win maybe 250 grand.
Yeah.
I'd still have to work, but I could pay off my mortgage.
Yeah. The thing is, yeah, I would say that if it's in you to be like that, and I believe that it would be, knowing you as I do... You probably would, even wealthy, you would still find work to do. You'd be well, you know these people that are successful. Ted Danson is a great example. Ted Danson has been in numerous hit shows. He's made his fortune many times over. The man does not need to work, yet he comes back and he works because he obviously wants to work and he wants to achieve and he wants to do good shows. There are numerous examples of people like that who don't leave the limelight when they've made their money because they want to do a Monday to Friday.
All right.
They want to work.
So, you haven't said you're watching anything yet. I did.
Oh, Maria, did you get my list?
No, I have your list, but you haven't rated anything yet. Maria, what are you giving Beckham out of 10?
I'd give it an 8. It's easy watching. I will say there is that one episode that I know from even my own social media post about it. It does instill a lot of rage. It's very difficult to watch the episode where he is being abused and where you see the abuse that himself and Victoria went through. But from a production point of view, it's really well made. It's 4 episodes. It's short. It's sweet. It's enjoyable. It's funny. It's easy watching. I would definitely recommend it. Yeah.
Now, can I just say here on the 9 till noon show, and particularly more so, the entertainment slot. We're not snobs here, and we like our soaps as well. Now, I do know. It's a culmination of a couple of big storylines on the soap operas at the moment. Both Coronation Street and Emmerdale haven't a clue what's going on in EastEnders or anything else. But on Coronation Street and Emmerdale, it is incredibly dramatic at the moment. There are some very long storylines that are coming to a finale.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people will be watching it tonight. Stuff the Ireland game, they'll say. I'm watching Cora's. So if you want to comment on that too, 086 60 25,000. What do you think about how some of the storylines on the soaps are playing out? Do you watch soaps at all, Maria?
I don't. I haven't seen an episode of Coronation Street probably in about, I'd say, 6 or 7 years. But
do you feel there's a Coronation Street?
It's not that I don't like him. I just don't be in front of the TV at that time.
Huh? But see, as I said, do you feel a Coronation Street hole shape in your life, gap in your life? But of course you don't. No, it is. You see, it is a problematic. The timing of
it's time. It's timing.
It's every night.
Yeah.
It's every night from 7:30 to 9:00. Bar shouting.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But anyway, that's the price of watching boxing on a Saturday night, so be it. Right, we'll be back with more from our guests, Maria Rush and Michael Letty, after these. Not a nugget, not an ounce. The electric mix of comedy, song, music and verse is a call to action from a people pulled together by a passion to protect the water, air, land and their children's children, all at risk of toxic pollution from a huge gold mine proposed for the headwaters of the Foyle River. Now, a show takes place in the Millennium Forum on the 15th of October, which is this weekend, of course. And one of the artists performing at it is Kevin McAleer, a stand-up comedian, of course. Kevin, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Morning, Greg. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on the show. Talk to me about this event and why you were happy to get involved, Kevin.
Well, I'm very close to the gold mine myself. You know, like if I look out my kitchen window, I can see the Spurns in the distance. So I'm probably only 10, 12 miles away. So, you know, the local community is my own community as well. You know, they've been struggling for quite a few years now to try to draw attention to the mining plans, and you know, most of the community is deeply opposed to it. I've been very slow, as is my style, to get involved, because I'm not a political animal usually. But in this case, I thought it was time to raise my head above the parapet and raise my voice and do what I can to help them to raise a few pounds to contribute to this. There's a big public inquiry come up, which requires a ridiculous amount of money from the community side to try to put their side of the story to the inquiry. So that's the trust behind the benefit in the forum.
Yeah, and it is the way, unfortunately, the planning process is set up, because you have to have your own experts to counter maybe what other experts might say, and organising it costs an awful lot of money. So if you're interested in supporting that, no better reason than to go to the Millennium Forum in Derry on the 15th of October. Tickets are only £20 too. But also, it's a night of entertainment, Kevin.
Exactly. And I'm really looking forward to it myself, because, you know, when I do my own show, you're just concentrating so hard. You know, you're juggling seven balls all night on your own. And it's a huge amount of fun as well, of course, but a huge amount of concentration. So to go to a show where it's a variety show with a mixture of music, poetry, comedy, which are my favourite forms of entertainment anyway, all rolled into one package, I'm looking forward to being entertained myself, you know, and obviously I'll be doing my own contribution, but it's going to be more like a party to me than a show. And obviously the good cause involved adds to the whole feel-good factor and the fun of it. And obviously the audience who are there are very on board, you know, if they're putting their hands in their pocket to come and support something like that. It's going to be a party atmosphere as well, and I'm sure there'll be eloquent speakers there on the subject of the gold mining. But as I say, that's not my forte. I'm much better at talking nonsense and making people laugh, so I'll be concentrating on that.
No, I can certainly feel the same way about the first part of that statement you just made about talking nonsense, because I get paid to do that too. What can you can see? You can let the reins off a little bit, can't you? You know, a bit of freestyling, riffing.
Yeah, I don't know. Some things like when I do my own show, I've heard most of what comes out of my own mouth. I very rarely surprise myself on stage. So, but as you say, you know, that there might be scope for a few new lines there on the subject matter of the gold mine and the environment and stuff like that, you know. So you never know what's going to come out of my mouth.
Yeah, and how many different ways you can use the word nugget for comedic value.
Yeah, and by me, yeah.
All right, well, listen, so, it's for an important cause, and the focus is on fun and entertainment, and as you say, Kevin, a party atmosphere, but on an important issue too, and it's great, and I always love to see when communities come together, you know, that's when things really start to change. And it's not just in this area, but it's right across health, housing, whatever it might be. When people get together, great things can be achieved, Kevin, and I'm sure it's a pleasure for you to be able to support them in that as a person of the community, but supporting the community as well.
Absolutely, yeah. Like, nobody else is going to stop this thing except the people themselves, you know, so we're all getting together to try to do that.
All right, great stuff. Great to see you again, Kevin. God bless you. Kevin McAleer there. You can go on to the Millennium. Yes, you can go on to the Millennium Forum box office, I am sure, and book your ticket, £20, for Not a Nugget, Not an Ounce, on the 15th, which is Sunday? Yeah, Sunday. Yes, yeah. Okay, we're still in the company of our guests, of course, Maria Rush, and also we have with us the good old reliable Michael Leddy. He's just like that pair of underpants that you'll dig through the drawer to grab because you know they're just going to look after.
There's a bit of a trend here going from the white fronts on Justified to the obsessed.
Any day I forget to put them on, I just spend the rest of the day obsessed talking about them. Frasier is back.
Yes.
The first episode aired on Paramount.
Yes, it did.
I don't know, revivals. Yeah. It's a difficult one because you're trying to win over a new audience, but then again, you're also trying to appeal to the diehards.
Yep.
Which I would say you probably fall into the latter.
Hugely.
So, the first episode, it's in the bag. You've watched it. Talk to us.
Yeah, the first two episodes, you know me being me, I didn't want to dive into the two episodes. I saved one of them for the week.
Why would you?
Why would I? So, one episode I've seen, two are available in this country right now, if anyone who has Paramount Plus. Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one because they're bringing back one of the great comedy series of all time. And I have been talking a lot about this on air for the last 2 years, ever since they first announced it. What I will say about this, first and foremost, is James Burrows is back. James Burrows is directing the first two episodes. He directed something like 30, 40 episodes of the original Frasier. He directed something like 230 episodes of Cheers, 75 episodes of Taxi. He directed hundreds of episodes of Will and Grace. When you see James Burrows' name on the credits, that's a good sign because this is the man who shapes situation comedy on American TV and has been revered for doing so for decades. So you know the pilot's in good hands. As regards the writing of the show, the team that's behind this, one of them was a producer on How I Met Your Mother, which is not a show I embraced, I'll be honest. And the other one comes from the Conan O'Brien stable, working on with Conan for many years. So those are the two people who are producing and writing the new show. James Burrows is behind the camera as director, which is an absolute brilliant piece of news for anyone who's a fan of his work. In front of the camera, Kelsey Grammer is back playing Frasier. He hasn't missed a beat. He is fantastic. It's a completely new setup. He's the only person back from the original show. They've populated the new show with new characters, including his son, who is now grown up. I found them to be very likable and funny. Nicholas Lyndhurst plays his best friend in the show. I thought Nicholas Lyndhurst, who most people will know as Rodney from Only Fools, and a few of us older ones will remember him from Butterflies, and of course he was in Goodnight Sweetheart, and he was in a lot of shows, The Piglet Files, a lot of shows. I thought Lyndhurst stole the show. I thought he was hilarious. He's the quirky one. He's the friend who says the peculiar things and the odd things. He's a professor.
What accent does he use?
He's speaking as himself. He's an English professor. He's over in America for a few years, but that's how Frasier knows him. But he constantly refers to these weird Americans and their obsession with family. Why he let that get in the way of everything. He has great lines. He delivers them with aplomb. I loved Lyndhurst in this, and I obviously loved Kelsey Grammer. I would give it about an 8 out of 10. I was nervous going into it in case it wouldn't work, but I was quietly confident knowing the people who were making
it. But what does it bring, other than Kelsey Grammer, what does it bring from Frasier?
It brings nothing from Frasier. Kelsey Grammer has said it's just the next chapter in this man's life. We've seen him for 11 years in Cheers, well, 9 years of Cheers and 11 years of his own show. So we're now picking up with this character. And it's a completely different show built around him. And the reason is, we want to see this guy now as he heads. He's in his late 60s. He's still working, but it's in the later years of his life. And we're going to see him as a parent. And the switch they've done, which is very clever, is that in the original series, Frasier's father was the blue-collar worker. He was the policeman. They didn't see eye to eye. Now they've reversed it, where his son is a fireman.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't connect. Mm-hmm. And that, again, I'm optimistic, having seen the first episode, but I think there's mileage in a father and son who don't connect immediately. There's mileage in that. I think you can get a couple of years or maybe 11 years out of a show like that.
Okay.
And they've populated it with, you know, they've done the, I mean, it's not reinventing the wheel. It's a sitcom where there's a couple of quirky people he's going to be working with. There's a couple of quirky people at home. And we just got to sit back now and see, can they deliver the laughs week in, week out? I'm very optimistic. I haven't seen the first episode. I say, who knows what could happen over the rest of the season. They're doing 10 this year. They're going to be available here in Ireland just as fast as... It's amazing to think how things have changed over the years. When the original Frasier came out 30 years ago, I was in Canada at the time, and I had a chance to see it ahead of Ireland because we were waiting months for things to show up. And I remember chatting to friends at home and saying, oh yeah, there's a spin-off now from Cheers and it's called Frasier. Now we're in a situation where things are simultaneously released if they're on streaming.
Of course they have to because people will find them elsewhere.
Find them elsewhere. So you can watch Frasier if you have Paramount Plus, and I think it's very good.
I
think it's good.
I was listening intently to every single word come out of your mouth.
No, you weren't.
But I was also thinking, if someone asked me to pick my favourite sitcom, I realise I don't think I've really watched them. I watched a bit of The Office, which would be a sitcom.
The American one or the UK one?
The UK one. Maybe a bit of that. But other than that...
You're not a sitcom?
No, I'm not. I couldn't even pick a favourite because I wouldn't have the... What about you, Maria? Is that your 25-minute comedy?
Yeah, it has to be Friends.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Now, I love Frasier as well, I have to say, and I'm a massive fan of Will and Grace. But I think I'm funny what you said there, Michael. I was just speaking to one of our team here. He's much younger than I am. Let's put it like that. And he was talking about Friends, and he's seen all the episodes. And you know, I was saying about how when we were in university, you had to get home on a Tuesday evening to get in front of the big, massive, huge TV that you had to touch the magnetic strips on to wait for the next episode of Friends. And then there were certain cliffhanger moments that you had to wait up to 12 months for the next installment, you know. So, and he's early 20s. He couldn't get his head around this at all because I think he binge watched the entire existence of Friends in the space of a few months. But I think Friends, those American sitcoms are always really appealing to us anyway. I think even just it was a whole different world, wasn't it? It really was. Like Frasier, Cheers, they were such a different world to what we were living in. But yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know how I'd feel now about one of the characters of Friends coming forward. I know they did it with Joey, and it didn't really work.
It didn't fly, yeah.
No.
Hi, Greg. I've been really enjoying the soaps in the last few weeks, but I'm going to the Lemon Tree with my friends this evening. I'm going to miss them. And they recognise that to be a first world problem, by the way, before anyone else texts in, okay? But still, he's going to be sitting there wondering... Stephen, what's going to happen to him tonight? I think that's Coronation Street. The acting is brutal. They've got scenes and it's terrible. Like, I'm laughing. I've got bruised ribs from laughing. Some of it's laugh.
So you don't need sitcoms because you're laughing at the scene.
I think it's... I always mix them up and I'm not being cute here. It's Emmerdale where there's a sort of a love triangle and a van hits the car and the car rolls and comes to rest at the edge of a cliff, right? Now, no word of the van driver. I'm waiting on an update from that fellow woman. I don't know what's going on with him. I posted on social media yesterday. No one was able to give me an update. But it comes to the way his current girlfriend is in the front and someone he's had an engagement with is in the back, right? And it's teetering. He's holding the car by the centre panel, right? He's actually holding the car from going over the cliff, and then it comes to a point where he has to reach his hand out to grab one of them, you know? Which one will he pick? And I found it hilarious. It's a great storyline. It's just how they've sort of...
So they've literally done a cliffhanger.
That's my job, that is. hi, Greg. Go ahead. You have to catch up on the previous episodes, though. And there's this Canadian guy, Stephen, and anyway, he's going to get his comeuppance.
I think
tonight,
that's
I'm
one
sure.
of the things that's nice about the soap. So, like, joking aside, I haven't watched them in years, but I know if I sat down tonight to watch Coronation Street, I would know who's who and what's going on. I don't think that much changes over. Mm. You know, so there's a certain
familiarity, I suppose.
A caller says, hi, Greg, what about Emmerdale? Seeing you watching it on Coronation Street, edge of your couch this week. Behind the couch? I couldn't sit in the edge of it. I have to hide behind it. We were talking about suspicions a little earlier on because it is Friday the 13th and someone mentioned not using the third match to light a cigarette. And apparently that goes back to the World Wars. As if a group of soldiers were lighting up cigarettes, then an enemy sniper could zone in on the light of the match by the third light of that match. Well, there you go. Have you any superstitions, Maria?
Not at all. I really don't. no, I don't.
So if I have a fairy tree in the front of my house and I hand you a chainsaw, you'll take it down for me?
No, I won't touch the fairy tree.
Oh, well, you see.
I don't know why. I think it's just there's one on our farm at home, and we were always just told to stay away from it, and that's just
so
that's
you are that. You it's are superstitious, Maria. I've outed you as a superstitious person.
You probably have. I suppose there's certainly
that's the quality
that
line
do,
like, of questioning you get in the Nigel Noon.
That's
show.
It exactly.
I
yeah.
get to the truth.
Those are the questions that people want answered.
I'm an award winner. Yeah. This is why.
This is why you win awards
because I get
yeah.
to the truth.
Yeah. Even when she denied it.
Even when she denied it.
Yep.
Plausible deniability. No, I wouldn't think myself a particularly superstitious person. I do, I suppose, have things where, like, if an ambulance passes, I tend to bless myself. There's little things like that that are just ingrained into us as Irish
yeah.
people. Mm. But
that's tradition more than superstition.
Will I pick new shoes onto the table? Yes, I will, because I want to admire how beautiful they are. I don't Lovely. Really want to hear that they're going to bring me bad luck, you know.
Ever since someone texted in that if you buy, he wouldn't buy a pair of shoes for his wife or partner in case they walk out. Everyone's talking about buying shoes now. There's going to be a rush on Greens and all the other fantastic shoe shops.
Great spot. Go buy your shoes and Greens. Yeah. Absolutely.
Are you suspicious at all? Well, you're suspicious looking, but
yeah, that's true. Yeah, but again, legally you can't say that anymore because we had a tree as well on our farm, and it was left alone. It was in the middle of it was like a dead sort of tree, but it wouldn't die. You know, and we just left it alone. Daddy wouldn't cut it down or whatever. No, I can't say I'm suspicious or superstitious. I can't think of anything that I would do or wouldn't do because I would think it would bring bad luck upon me. So I suppose I'm leaning slightly towards the rational kind of side of things. But I'm aware of things that are in society. And as you say, Greg, there are more tradition than anything else. And maybe I do observe those, but I'm not really maybe necessarily believing in them. But
my Facebook friends don't care. It's a load of old nonsense. And then Catherine O'Donnell, don't bother me, but thinking about the van in Emmerdale. Yeah, well, there's a lot of us. I'm with you. I'm with you, Catherine, on that one. Caroline says, I'll let you know at 12. There are a lot of people, superstitious, says Mary Jo. I think it's entirely up to oneself, but I, for one, don't bother with it. Dorothy, she just cuts the chase. It's ridiculous.
Yep.
No one should believe in it.
Yep.
It's a lot of all nonsense, says Mary, and on it goes. A caller says the American office is so much better. Okay.
I'd be in that camp. Yeah, I would agree. I agree with that person.
Really?
Yeah, okay. I think it's a great show.
No, I don't agree at all. I love the UK one. I have
to
say,
the originals. Yeah, the originals.
It's very good. I mean, I think it's very good. But as much as I enjoyed David Brent, I found myself going for Michael Scott more. I just thought that was a better environment.
Right, okay. Controversy.
Yeah.
See, we bring controversy here on the Nigel Noon Show. That is why we are award winning. This is it. Controversy.
Did you win an award, Greg, recently?
No,
is that recently?
I'm saying it's because we expose, we're controversial, we're not afraid.
It's all coming out, yeah.
We are going to be back with Maria. I was so coy and shy at the start of the week, and I'm not stuffing.
Yeah, exactly.
We'll be back with more from Maria and Mike after these, but I think the listeners know I'm joking. You're listening to That's Entertainment on the 9 till Noon Show with the great guests of Maria Rush, owner of Rush Fitness, and Michael Leddy, who's a writer and blogger. And you at home, at work, or wherever you're listening. Hi, Greg, did you notice on Emmerdale, what have I started, that Mac and Charity were able to get out of the car and walk away, and when the ambulance left with Chloe, Mac and Charity were left to find their own way home. Corrie is great this week too, and I can't wait for tonight's episode. Well, listen, I believe the ambulance crew, if I've got the right scene, said that we'll get you to hospital in an ambulance. I believe that. But before that, they walked down after the car had fallen down the cliff, Michael. I know you're on the edge of your seat.
Yes, yes.
They were just walking down towards the car, chatting, you know, walking. And there was a person in the car, apparently, still. And he stopped to turn around and have a conversation and all. And I would have thought, you know, you bomb it down there. But look, it's not a documentary. That's the important thing to remember. Firefly Lane on Netflix, Maria, is a show that I hear and I see and I have, but I don't know what it's about, if you know what I mean. Do you ever get shows like that there where you're conscious of them, but you don't know anything about them?
So they have a pop culture presence.
Yeah, so it's on Netflix, Maria. What's it about?
So I've been off sick this week, which is why I have been watching random stuff like this. I don't usually get time to sit and watch things like this. I had watched Firefly Lane in the original and first series a few years ago when it came out. It tells the story of two young friends, and it jumps in time from when they're young girls up until now. You know, in the first series, it was up until they were in their kind of late 30s. The second season, I'm only halfway through now. I know it's going to get quite heavy emotionally from different spoilers that I've seen online. Because it's been out for quite a while. Let's be honest, I'm usually about a year behind everybody else when it comes to watching stuff. But it's a lovely, it's based on a novel by Kristen Hanna. It's directed by, I can't remember the name of the lady now, but the two main actresses are just wonderful. It's Sarah Chalk, she was in Scrubs in the 90s, and then Katherine Heigl. And they just play these really believable women who have grown up together, have fallen out, have fallen in love again with each other. They're very much portrayed as a friendship that has, that can transcend everything. But the point I got to this week, that friendship's been really, really tested, and I don't know how they're going to come through it. But it's silly, it's serious. There's a lot of very ridiculous kind of Hollywood stuff going on, but at the same time, the essence of the story is if you've ever had a true friend, you'll get it, you know. Mm. And I don't think it's just women that can empathize with that. I think it's something that's quite universal. But I love the time jumps. I love how it goes from them when they were teenagers into their early 20s, and the same characters are very cleverly aged, you know, yeah, back and forth. Sarah Chalk is a superb actress. I think she actually is very underrated. Katherine Heigl's fantastic anyway, she always has been. But I'm really enjoying it. I'm looking forward to getting to the end of it. Realised by Wednesday that it was getting a bit heavy, and I decided I didn't need any more emotional baggage this week, so I'm going to leave it till I'm feeling a bit less.
I like that. And Maria, come here. You're incredibly busy. And yeah. I'm sorry to hear that you've not been feeling well. But has it been kind of nice in a way too to sort of be able to just sit and chill? Like, can you switch off like that?
No.
Okay.
For me to sit and watch a full series of something in one day, that's how you know I'm sick. Okay. I enjoy my downtime, but sitting for it's really not my thing.
Sorry, Maria.
Was glad of Netflix this week, now I have to say, because I needed something to pass time for me.
Yeah.
Because I wasn't physically able to get up and do anything. So that was very frustrating. And which is why I found myself watching, and I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I watched Harry and Meghan.
Like, I skipped over that to protect you. Having come out of watching Beckham, I thought, right, I'm going to skip Harry and Meghan until later, because, you know, she normally comes in with podcasts, documentaries, stage shows. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you're an emotional wreck. Talk to us about Harry and Meghan, since as you mentioned it, because a lot of people, I think there's quite a crossover audience between Beckham and Harry and Meghan possibly as well.
And I think that's why I did actually come up next as suggested. Netflix is so clever, isn't it? You know, I just finished watching Beckham. Oh, here's what you're going to watch next. Okay. but also because The Crown, the next series of The Crown is coming out very shortly, I suppose that's where I found, I wouldn't be overly interested in the royal family.
Yep.
I'm really not a massive fan of them, but I tend to take The Crown as historical fact, which I know you're not supposed to do. But I watched it just out of interest. But I did find myself going to the next one and the next one, because it is interesting to watch these people that are so far removed from our reality. It's interesting. It's entertaining. Again, I'm overwhelmed and amazed at the amount of video footage they have of their own lives. I don't have that much video footage of our lives. Maybe we need to start archiving things a bit better.
Aaron came up to me there a couple of weeks back and literally says, why are there no pictures or videos of me? Now, I was able to dig them out because I did have them. But, you know, I do find myself watching shows like that, Maria, and going, do I need to be shooting more stuff?
Mm. Really think so. Yeah. Definitely did. I have loads now of footage of the studios here if anybody wants that, but not so much of home, which is really sad actually when I think about it. Yeah,
but it's real. It's real. It's real. Harry and Meghan, I think kind of interesting because they put themselves out there. They were signed up by Netflix. They were signed up by Spotify. And obviously these companies thought that there's going to be a massive public interest in what they're doing, a global public interest. Now, a lot of their stuff with Netflix has been pared back. I think they've been dropped altogether by Spotify. So it goes to show, you know, just because of who they are and what have you, it's down to the public too. And whilst there's been an interest in some of the stuff, Maria, not enough to sustain these big contracts that they signed.
Yeah, and they are a controversial couple as well, in that, you know, there's a lot of people who would be very, very angry at them and feel that they have, I don't know, stepped away from their family and all. But I think it is interesting to see that there definitely are two sides here. My big takeaway from it was the power that the British press have over the royal family, and the actual you know, I really do understand why you would step back from that. I think there seems to be an awful lot of corruption going on. There seems to be an awful lot of the stuff going on in the background that I think no matter how many documentaries Harry and Meghan do, that we'll never, ever, ever know, nor do we really want to, I suppose. But I do, I find the whole thing intriguing. I think, again, same as what I said about Beckham, the level to which the media and the public take the hatred of these people is ridiculous.
GB News consistently, it's not a station I would watch, but consistently trade on anti-Harry and Meghan stories, even when no one cares or no one's. But every day, almost, they will try and stir up another story. Mm. And I wonder, who is consuming this? Who cares that much about anything? And I don't mean that badly, but what is the audience that cares that much about these two individuals that they have really no... Oh, anyway, come here. We'll be back with more. Sorry, I've got so caught up in that. Oh, I've missed the break, so back shortly. So Michael, we'll go to a couple of films on terrestrial TV, yes. T.G. Cahir and Channel 4, two different types of films, but both entertaining nonetheless.
Yes, exactly. They're tomorrow night, Saturday night movies, 9:30, so you have a choice here. If you're watching T.G. Cahir tomorrow night, you can see Calendar Girls, 2003 comedy film directed by Nigel Cale. Helen Mirren is in this, and Julie Walters and Penelope Wilton, who I loved in Ever Decreasing Circles, great sitcom of the 1980s. So it's this is a very famous one, and it's got a lot of resonance, I think, in this part of the world because we've had numerous live productions. We've had the play has been done. I've seen it twice on stage in this part of the world. And then there's a musical as well that came with the same story, which we had recently in this part of the world as well, and was an award-winning, national award-winning, even though it was produced locally. So again, this is a story that's going to be well-known to people in Donegal and this part of the world. A true story a group of middle-aged Yorkshire women produced a nude calendar to raise money for leukemia research under the auspices of the Women's Institute. That happened back in 1999. The movie came out in 2003.
And these are the type of movies the British make well, don't they? They've done a few similar-y type ones.
Yeah, absolutely. And in fact, I'm heading this Sunday, I think, to see the Miracle Club, which I think is going to be, I haven't seen it yet, but that's out in the cinema, and I think it's going to be that same sort of touch. I think it's going to push the same kind of buttons. So this is, it's on tomorrow night, a classic, a modern classic. I'm sure people who have seen it before will be interested in revisiting it, and also people who haven't actually seen the movie but have a chance to see it tomorrow night. And on the other side, if you're not...
Well, 1 second. Oh, yeah. Calendar Girls. If you watch McKenna, don't be sorry. What are you on about? You look like a thug. No. Maria, Calendar Girls, have you been involved in the production of that, or is it something you're a fan of?
I haven't. Same as Michael, I've seen it on stage and in Grinning twice, both the play and the musical. Yep. It's a great, great show. And I've seen the movie as well. The movie's fantastic. That's definitely one to put onto your watch list for the weekend.
Knives Out is it for everyone? I think if it's quirky enough that you get it. If you get it, I watched it. I was like, okay.
Yeah, I think it is.
It's hammy.
It is hammy, but it's funny. So this is on at the same time. It's on at 9:30. It's tomorrow night, and this is on Channel 4. This is, again, definitely a modern classic. Daniel Craig is a very quirky detective in this movie, and it's a murder mystery. Christopher Plummer, who we get to see in loads of flashbacks and so forth, he is the murder victim, and the question is, who murdered him? It's a murder mystery, but it's a very self-aware murder mystery. It's very much aware of what it is, and it's very clever. Rian Johnson is
too
the guy. Too clever for its own good, said one person, and that was Greg Hughes.
I'm not afraid to
say it. It's that controversy. It's that you're willing to say it. No. It's what made you the award-winning show host that you are. No, but the thing is, I love this movie. I loved its sequel. If you haven't had a chance to see it yet, you've definitely got a chance to see it. It comes highly recommended. It's got like 97% on Rotten Tomatoes from critics and 92% on Rotten Tomatoes from the general public. Greg Hughes was one of the 8% that voted it down.
I didn't. And I think I probably enjoyed it at the time, but sometimes I think it's just probably not quite as good as everyone makes out it is. And it's hammy and it's overacted.
It is. It's over the top. And Daniel Craig's accent has got to be heard to be believed. He's deliberately he's making a very brave choice, which I think universally is acclaimed, but you have to hear it to believe it. It's fantastic.
Maria, are you in the 92% or the 8%?
I am. And I came on to the Leaving Cert just as I was leaving teaching, actually. It's a great show. Really, really enjoy Knives Out. I didn't know that was on this weekend. I think I'll have to watch that. There's one at the minute that I'm hoping to watch it at the weekend. It's Fair Play. It's on Netflix as well. It's the most watched movie on Netflix this week. It stars Phoebe Denever. I never know how to say her name. The lady that was in Bridgerton. Mm-hmm. She is the daughter of someone from Corrie. It's getting big reviews this week as well. It premiered at the Sundance Film Festival. Ah. It's just opened on Netflix and it's apparently very good.
On Netflix, mm-hmm. should there be an option to hide foreign language TV shows and films?
Well, they want you to
yes.
watch them. They want you to embrace them, so they're never going to give you that option.
That's the Apple approach.
Yeah.
We'll tell you what you want. It's not controversial. I don't like subs necessarily.
Or yeah, yeah.
The dubbing is brutal. Ugh. I actually might try and start a career as a dub. I think I would be better as a dubbing actor. I don't know how you do it, because they all sound the same. It's like AI. But I think I would like an option to hide the foreign yeah. language stuff. Maria, would you endorse that move? Would you second my motion?
No, I don't see the problem with it, to be honest.
It just clutters it.
If you don't really notice
if you're
it,
never
going to
watch it, because it. So you don't spend 3 hours trying to find something to watch on Netflix and then go to bed?
No.
Oh, that's just me. That's literally just.
I choose something, I am going to bed. And our general consensus is that it has to be less than an hour and a half long or yeah. we're watching it.
But there is a...
Yeah, so many things are too long,
but on
Maria.
On Netflix,
yeah.
they do
yeah.
have hour and a half long films, so that's normal, yeah. so we're not so abnormal. Mm. Okay, Maria, listen, it's been a pleasure. I hope you're at full health, if not now, very, very soon.
I'm flying.
Good stuff. Thank you so much. Have a lovely weekend.
Thanks, Maria.
And love to your
you
family.
Too.
Thank
Thanks,
you very much indeed.
Bye, Maria.
Michael Leddy, thank you so much, as always. It's
delighted
an absolute
to be here.
Pleasure.
Delighted to be
and
here.
And we appreciate your recommendations and your fun as well. Thank you,
yeah,
Michael.
Love it.
That's where we have to leave it on the show today. Thank you to the listeners, and for those of you who watched the show and everyone who texted in or called in. It's been great having you on board for the week, and we're back to do it all again on Monday. We can't wait. Thanks to Donna Marie Doherty, researched and produced. Caroline is back, hopefully very proficient at ice skating on Monday, because she really put her heart and soul into it.
Yeah.